Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again, to worship, to hear the word anew, to penetrate deeper into the mysteries of God, to deal with what God has revealed, to be seized by it, to become so immersed in everything that we are no longer visible, but the Lord, who has called us, who has graciously accepted us. We heard it here in the opening word. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, is the beginning of wisdom, not yet the end, only the beginning. That is where it begins. And where the fear of God does not begin, it does not begin at all. There we have a pious imagination, religious ideas, and nothing more. Only where the fear of God actually begins, only there does God begin with us, not earlier and not later. And we live in a time in which the fear of God must be capitalized, but it is still not to be found. People have lost the fear of God, of His Word, of His decisions, of His actions, of everything. They go their own way and think they can stand their ground before God. How grateful we can be that the Lord has a remnant, people who are not self-absorbed, but who cling to the Lord with all that is in them and trust in His grace. So then we will have the service this afternoon and perhaps go more into prayer. You all know how it is. You can hear God's word no matter how often, unless it is moved and kept in the heart, in faith and prayer. Otherwise, we have been forgetful hearers. The word of God must be moved and preserved. It cannot just be heard. Otherwise, we are like people who have looked in the mirror and afterwards no longer know what they looked like. And it was in vain that we heard it. In the days of the Lord, many people knew Him, heard Him, saw Him walking the streets, were there when He cleansed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead. They knew Him after the flesh, but did not recognize Him in His divinity, in what He had to do, but passed Him by. The world, we read, was not worthy of those who bore the word, who brought it. And then, of course, even when the Lord Himself came, it is written, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God. This is a divine fact. The Lord did not come to give us a pious touch, some religious look, humble on the outside. He came to give us divine life that we might have it more abundantly. He came to make us children of God. We will look at some words today. Let us start with the Gospel of John, chapter 8. These are all scriptures that we are familiar with, and yet we are certain that God will speak through them. From verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Let's stop at this verse. I know. John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. This is one of the saddest statements that the Lord Himself could make. Abraham's seed, a man after God's own heart, a man with whom the Lord God made the covenant, to whom He said, in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, established the covenant, made the promises, and revealed His plan. He is even called the God of Abraham. He is called the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I have sometimes said that God has never been called the God of the Germans, the God of the Americans, the God of the Soviet Union, but He has often been called the God of Israel. Why? Because God began the plan of salvation with Abraham, made promises, fulfilled promises, established the covenant, practiced faithfulness, and revealed Himself to those with whom He had a way, and, as already mentioned, made history in the plan of salvation in advance. Here the reason is given why they wanted to kill the Lord, because my word has no place in you. Those who have been filled with traditions, with interpretations, and with what does not agree with the word, will no longer have room for the word itself. Our Lord stood before the people at that time, before the scribes, and said, ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. The word of God must first be set aside before one's own things can be considered valid. But where everything of our own is cancelled, God's word can be presented and received anew as valid, as legally binding, as authoritative. and we want to belong to these people at this time. People in whom all the traditions that have taken their place are put aside, and the word can be placed anew in the right place in our hearts, in our lives, in the church, in every area. As God planned and intended when he gave his word, then in the letter to the Ephesians, we want to read briefly Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 2. If ye have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Up to here, this scripture. Here it is about the idea of the stewardship, the administration of God's grace. Who can administer the grace of God properly? Who can rightly administer that which is connected with the pardoned ones? Paul, called into the ministry as a man of God, he was aware of his responsibility before God, and he reckoned that the believers had also heard of this divine calling, of the sending, of the commission, of the responsibility. And that is why he writes, surely ye have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God. Beloved, when we compare the ministry of Brother Branham with the ministry of Paul at this time, we are not doing it out of arrogance. We are not doing it to emphasize a person in a special way. Then we do it in reverence for God, in the knowledge that the Lord made decisions and that he came down in the same pillar of fire and pillar of cloud in our time, doing the same things. But we do not stop there, but the same word has been proclaimed. You may say, it went far beyond that. Firstly, we must realize that every Bible doctrine, as it was in the beginning, must be in the end. And we believe with all our hearts that it is necessary for all to remain within the bounds of the Word of God in order to remain in God. There is no man who can abide in God if he does not abide in the bounds of the Word. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. This is what our Lord says in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. The Word cannot be separated from the Lord, but forms a unity. That is why we believe that God is the God of His Word. And if we are perhaps temporarily regarded in some ways as no longer being in the race, no, we are not in a race, especially not with people or with what they do. God has placed us in a divine race, not a race with this or that interpretation or direction, but a constancy that God has given us to remain in His Word, to be able to wait, to be patient. For thus it is written, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." This patience to wait until the time of God and until the hour of God has come. Paul could write in his day, "Surely ye have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, not for himself, not for his glory, not that he could say, I have experienced this and that." Every ministry, every task, everything that God gives to the church, He does not give to the individual for himself, but is given for the upbuilding of the church. So, of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Let us dwell a little on the word revelation. We hear this word over and over again today. Let me be clear. Every revelation that comes from God will come through the Spirit and the Word of God. It is never just that someone says, "I have received a revelation through the Spirit." It can still be the one Spirit and the other Spirit. The question and the answer is this: every divine revelation that truly comes from the Spirit of God must and will come from the Word of God and lead back into the Word of God. And the beautiful thing is that it will not just be one scripture that can be bent in all directions under heaven, but will run like a red thread through the Holy Scriptures. And we will not just have one scripture, but several scriptures. See how faithful God was. Did He not know the end before the beginning? Have we not described in the Word of God what would be in the last days? And then He nevertheless gives this admonition in the last as well as in the first chapter of Revelation to write down what has been said. And what has not been written, as we all know, will never become part of the Word of God and will therefore never be preached. Where and how does the hopeless confusion arise in these days by people claiming that God has revealed this and that to them? And to give the matter a religious label, terms such as the seven thunders have to be used. Beloved, believe it once and for all. Everything that God wanted to say to the bride church has been written down and was revealed through the last ministry, through the ministry of Brother Branham. You can forget everything that goes beyond that, because it does not come from the same source. They are interpretations, additions, and everything else that belongs to it, but never the original Word of God. At that time, the Lord Jesus said, "You do not hear me, because my word has no place in you." People who do not allow the Word of God to enter into them in these days give proof that they have taken interpretations into themselves and are full of them, and nothing else has any place. Perhaps someone will say, that concerns the denominations. No, not at all. That concerns everyone, no matter who or when it happens. Every person who accepts things other than God's pure and holy word will one day quite openly come to the point where they can no longer accept God's word, because everything that is in them has disturbed the connection to the word. We must have an undisturbed relationship with God. If we have this, then we have an undisturbed relationship with His word. And only then can God move on with us. I believe that after all this back and forth, God will give us grace so that we will be so established in His word that no one will be able to toss us to and fro, that no wind of doctrine will get to us about this or that, and if it did get to us, it would not be able to carry us away, but that we would actually be established and grounded in the Word of God. We have one more word that belongs to this. It is probably written in Colossians. I just want to see. We read from Ephesians. Yes, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the Word of God. Let us pause for a moment with this thought. Again, stewardship, an office, has been given to him by God, given for you, not for himself, but for the upbuilding of the church. Paul, as a man of God, was free from dogmatism. Did he have to enter the race? Did he need to talk about himself and for himself? No. He pointed to the divine commission, to the calling, to the stewardship that had been given to him by God with regard to the church. Every man of God who has been appointed by the Lord will have the absolute welfare of the church at heart. He will feel as Aaron and everyone else did. The breastplate with the 12 tribes was on his heart every time he came into the presence of God. In the breastplate were the 12 stones, and the 12 stones represented the 12 tribes. He wore them on his heart to do priestly service, not bossiness, not to know everything better, but to proclaim the word of the Lord so that God comes to his right. And Paul put it so beautifully here, to fulfill the word of God perfectly, not just in part, but perfectly, so that not even one of God's words would be lacking, but that everything would be perfectly aligned, so that the church could also be brought to perfection, namely by perfectly aligning the Word of God. Isn't that what these days are all about? The church is to be brought to perfection. Restitution is not just a theory. It must be revealed in practice that God has turned his face towards us and that God's word is perfectly accomplished in all those who are brought to perfection in Christ, so that they can be caught up to him. That is basically what it is all about now. And perhaps some will wonder why we are not creating an artificial atmosphere here. Believe me, if I have understood the message correctly, then the Word of God is the divine seed that is planted in us. And if I have understood correctly, then this divine seed contains the divine germ of life. And if I have understood it correctly, then the Spirit of God comes upon this divine seed to call it forth to new life. Is that right? So not through emotions, vibrations, atmosphere and enthusiasm that we evoke. The seed doesn't really care how much enthusiasm there is around it. The seed has the germ of life in it. And if God has made sure that this divine seed has been planted in us, will He not make sure that this divine seed comes forth into a new divine life? Most certainly. After all, it is a law of God that everything brings forth after its own kind. And when Paul writes here as a man of God that he has been given this ministry by God with regard to the church, namely in order to perfectly fulfill the word of God, we have understood that our opinions and traditions were a terrible hindrance to us, that they were an obstacle, and sometimes I have the impression that not all the old leaven has been swept out, that some still remains. And then God's word is fulfilled quite quickly. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? We must realize that in these days it is not a piecemeal work, but the perfect word of God must be accomplished so that the church can be brought into this divine perfection. There must be a period of time in which all piecemeal work ends up in this perfection. And that is why Paul writes, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Of course, we have a period of time behind us. Many things have been piecemeal, and we are very grateful for every little part. But we must now prepare ourselves to turn our attention away from the piecemeal to that which is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. Everything God does according to His Word. And all those whom God has appointed do everything according to His Word. How did we emphasize it here? Of Noah it is written, and he did everything as the Lord had commanded him. Of Moses, and he did everything as the Lord had shown and commanded him on the holy mount. Of Elijah, he did everything as the Lord God had told him. Paul could say the same at that time. And we believe with all our heart that the calling and ministry of Brother Branham was necessary to give thyself to the church of the Lord in these last days, to reveal the will of God and to lead out of the piecemeal into the perfect, namely into the Word of God. Have you ever heard Brother Branham stand before a congregation, operate gifts, speak in other tongues, and then interpret? He could have done it. He clearly stated that he had this experience with God. Brother Branham was not sent to fool others. He was sent to fully expound the Word of God. Now, when I made that statement, I don't want to give the impression that people who operate gifts are fooling others. But preachers do. Preachers do it with calculation. They do it on purpose to give others the impression that they are right with God. And Brother Branham never ever needed that. But we see that his ministry was different from all other ministries. One of the great evangelists came to him and asked him to lay hands on him so that he becomes normal again. And then Brother Branham said, "If you allow me to lay hands on you too, then it can be done." What was it? It was a traditional way of doing everything in a way that people had been used to for years. God did not send his servant and prophet to walk in the well-worn footsteps of others, but he sent him to bring the word in a perfect way, so that at the end of the time of grace, a church could be called out that would not walk in well-worn footsteps, but in the clear path, in the footsteps of God. And the footsteps of God can always be found in his word. I am grateful to God today that Brother Branham had the grace to resist everything and never give in, but to remain faithful to the calling, and as we read here, faithful to this stewardship, to fulfill the word of God. He knew that this word would not and could not return void, but where it is placed in hearts, where it is struck by the ray of light of the Sun of Righteousness, there it comes forth, and it is also watered by the Spirit of God. Now listen, it goes even further. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Well, we will come to another point that we would like to emphasize. This is about this one mystery that was hidden in God, revealed in Christ, made known to his holy prophets and apostles, and thus made accessible to the church, so that we could be enlightened about the counsel of God. But now that this has been done, hear what must be the sum of this divine revelation of the Word. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize what this is about? It comes from Christ and leads to Christ. This richness is not, I know this, and I know that, and I know this and that, and even more, and I know this and that, and even more I know. No, that's not how it works with God. God does not need people who know everything. God needs people who can't list how much they know, how many points they know better. God needs people who understand what it is all about, namely that Christ, the mystery, the glory of God can be revealed in our souls. What use is all our knowledge if Christ does not come into his own in you and in me? Then a divine message would have been brought and given in vain. No, it is very important that we recognize this. And let me summarize these two verses, namely the verse to fulfill the word of God perfectly, and the verse, this riches consists in this, that Christ is in you as the hope of glory. Where the word of God is fully fulfilled and brought to the people of God, God has the opportunity to fulfill through his word what he has sent it to do. And what is it that remains? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And here it is even written, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Many have claimed to have Christ. Did they have the word? Did they receive the divine seed? Have they allowed themselves to be set free from all traditions? Has the pure divine seed been sown in them, so that a pure divine harvest can come forth? We have spoken about this. In the past, it was a mixture in every respect, a mixture in all areas. But that shall come to an end. Our Lord wants his word to be perfectly fulfilled for the perfection of his people in these last days. For this purpose, the perfect revelation of the will and the word of God has been given, so that something perfect can come forth from the perfect in the church. We all know, Brother Branham said it clearly enough, only God could come forth from God, just as only a man can come forth from a man. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And so God said, thou art my beloved Son, this day have I begotten thee. What was it? God has revealed himself, and to stay on this word, if now in the last days this word of God is to be perfectly fulfilled, then let us understand that God has perfectly revealed his word. If there are ambiguities, they are not in the word, they are in you, because of the various traditions and commandments of men. But where all these things have been cleared up, I believe the Lord will be able to fulfill his word and will in us in these last days. Question: can a perfect word produce anything other than perfection in those who have received it? Can God's word produce anything other than what is written in it as seed? Never, ever. God's word, every word of God, is a seed. And insofar as this word of God is placed in the heart of the believer as a seed in the form of a divine promise, then nothing else can come forth than what God has announced through His word and what is already present as a seed in the germ. It will come forth. And the sons and daughters of God will be manifested at the end of the time of grace. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. He, as the Son of God, begotten by the Spirit, the Word became flesh, so with us, we as the sons and daughters of God, begotten by the Spirit, the word of the divine promise must be in us for something divine to come forth. I don't know if this has been said clearly enough, but the Holy Spirit is able to make it even clearer, so that not even the slightest unbelief or doubt would remain in any of us. Do we trust God? There was a promise for the Savior. It was fulfilled. There is a promise for the redeemed. It must be fulfilled. And we are in the midst of that which God is doing at the end of time, in the midst of that which the Lord, who has given His perfect word, is slowly and surely working out in a perfect way. I like to read this verse again. To fulfill the word of God perfectly. Not for His opinion, for His doctrine, for His special knowledge, but to fulfill the word of God perfectly. I have no other wish than this, that God would thus come to His right in these last days, so that His word can truly be perfectly fulfilled. And then I can tell you something. No one will come up short of all those who have received God's word in faith. There are people who run here, who run there. They listen here, they listen there. There is something new, and here is something new. And it seems as if they get wings. But then the air goes out of all the tires, and the new thing no longer works. Something else comes along, something new again. People of God, brothers and sisters, we should consider ourselves too good for all the things that are done by men through the deception of the enemy in these days. Let us believe with all our hearts that God has revealed His perfect word and thus His perfect will, and that the same God watches over His word to fulfill it perfectly and make it a reality in those who have received it in faith in their hearts. The overall result of the perfect Word of God will then be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here it is even written like this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the riches of the glory? Where does the glory come from? From the one who intended it for us, from our God. Where do we see this fullness of God's glory today? Is there not quarreling and bickering, bossiness and discord everywhere? But God will have a church in which His perfect Word is heard and believed, in which His perfect Word will fulfill the purpose for which it was sent to us. And then the fullness of God's glory will be revealed among His people. Result, Christ in you. This fullness, this riches of God that has been revealed and given to us. And when someone receives this fullness, it overflows. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. May the Lord bless us with these words of His, that we may believe it and trust our God, that He will fulfill everything by grace in us and in all those who believe it from the heart, just as He has promised and as He has purposed. The matter has not been entrusted to us. No, He Himself has redeemed His church. He is building it. He is perfecting it. He will bring her home to His glory. How marvelous, how faithful our God is. I really don't want to presume anything, but I would like to express my heart's desire. I would like to see what Paul longed for and what Brother Branham would have liked to see as the fruit of this divine message in a perfect way by grace at the end of days. That of the perfect revelation of the perfect Word of God, a perfect redemption, a perfect deliverance, a perfect salvation, a perfect baptism of the Spirit, a perfect love, a perfect teaching, all of which through the grace of God, which existed as piecemeal work, resulted in this divine perfection. And I believe it. And I don't look to myself, but to the Lord. And if we look to Him, then we can believe it. Is it true or not? If we look to ourselves, oh, then we could despair. But if we look to the Lord, then we are of good cheer, even in our despondency. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. God's Word has divine life in it. The seed is there, and the Lord Himself will ensure that it will spring forth, and there will be such fullness. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Such a fullness as is worthy of our Lord God. It will be a perfect fullness. Nothing will be missing. A perfect restitution of all that has been lost. Are you not glad of this? Oh, who are we that God has revealed His word to us as He did to the apostles and prophets? Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, from my heart I thank you for speaking to us. Truly, it is holy ground on which we stand, but for your sake, because you are present as the Holy One. Faithful Lord, today I realized why Paul said what he said, and Brother Branham acted as he acted. Lord, these men were sent and ordained by you to do what all others could not do, because they were not ordained to do it. Anyone could operate gifts. Anyone could carry out a ministry. But you entrusted your word to those who were especially called to it. And they did not occupy themselves with operating gifts. That is why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, but in the meeting I would rather speak words of instruction and knowledge than many thousands of words in tongues. Today I realize it. Brother Branham also never once operated this gift. Lord, without knowing it, you led me in the same way. I never stepped before you people to be anything. And even though you baptized me with a spirit and fire in 1951, and I often used this gift to speak to you, I went before the people with your word. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name. That is also the reason why you, O Lord, addressed me as my servant. Lord, I thank you that you let us recognize things at the end of time, unconsciously, indeed, without us being aware of it. You have already guided us step by step. Lord, I thank you. I want to stand my ground before you on the day you have made, with all those who have heard the word. Lord, it is a perfect word. Without our own effort, you will make it come forth in perfection to the honor and praise of thy name. We thank you together for all the piecemeal of the past years and times, for all your speaking, for all your gifts. Oh, how often you have blessed us. Faithful Lord, we thank you so much for it. Guide us now into perfection. Oh, may your word be perfectly fulfilled, O Lord, that nothing may be lacking. Let us realize that this is not the time of piecemeal work. The hour of the word, the hour of truth, the hour of decision, the hour of God for your people. I thank you, and I praise you, and I worship you, Lord God Almighty, who you were, and who you are, and who are to come. Your people, who are weak, have received and accepted your perfect word in faith. Your divine word, come forth, and bring the fullness of glory, and reveal Jesus Christ as the hope of glory in us all and through us all. Faithful Lord, may the end really have been put once and for all to all our own traditions, so that we may receive your word alone, and your Spirit may bring it to life. Lord, thank you. Take us and bless us all from the riches of your grace. You are present. Everyone in this room knows that. You have spoken to us. We have understood that too. Beloved Savior, take us all and bless us in thy presence, with your presence. Lord, let your Spirit rule over us and come into us and make your word come alive for the honor and praise of your name. Hallelujah. Amen.